Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. And so it's interesting. Part of our Believing in the Christ series is going to be using scripture both from the Gospel of John and also from Revelation. How many of y'all have done a study on Revelation before? Some of you, but most of the time we read Revelation and think it's one of the weirdest books that there is in the Bible. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. All right. But that is our first reading today, and so I'll be reading from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Pew Bible page is 1490 if you'd like to follow along. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Our second reading comes to us from the Gospel of John, and I invite you to stand as you are able as I read from the 20th chapter, verses 19 to 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are given them, forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. You may be seated. Pray with me. Gracious and loving God, you gave us the gift of Jesus, the Word incarnate in flesh to walk amongst us. Standing on the other side of the Easter story, we are able to see with fresh eyes and open spirits. That we are encouraged in our belief and moved into serving you in the ways that you would have us do in the world. And so today, as we reflect upon the words from John and from Revelation, may your Holy Spirit reveal to us what it is that we need to hear this day, that we may be encouraged and strengthened and perhaps find a moment of peace. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So the book of Revelation is apocalyptic literature. Now, apocalyptic, I think for most of us, if we've been swimming in the waters, probably are familiar with or have read Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series. Have any of y'all read that or seen it? I see one. Well done, everybody else, for not reading it, because it will completely skew your understanding of the book of Revelation. And you know, as I was early in my faith, for those of you who may not know, I didn't actually profess faith in Jesus until I was in my 20s. I didn't grow up in the church. It wasn't the water that I swam in. It wasn't the air that I breathed. But it was because of someone else who took me to church that led to that profession of faith and saying, wow, I really need to learn more about who God is. And I read the entire Left Behind series. And then I read The Shack and these other, you know, books that just really kind of challenged and maybe broadened my understanding of the nature of God. And for us today, oftentimes we want to look at the book of Revelation as a book of end times, right? We're looking for these signs that are going to be indications that Jesus is coming on a cloud to conquer all things, and these are the things that we can look for, right? However, that book was written for a very specific audience at a very specific time and very specific circumstances. After Jesus was suffered, died, and resurrected from the dead, he did reappear to his faithful followers, as we heard with the story of Thomas and the disciples. But the times after Jesus' death were very tumultuous and dangerous for those who were following the way, who were following in this new teaching of Jesus as the Messiah. And we know, based on Roman occupation and powers and principalities, that early Christians really suffered under the authority and rule of the day. And yet they were called to have a message of hope, of encouragement, and it really was meant to be a writing to encourage those going through difficult times. And the words that I shared this morning, the very prayer that Revelation starts with, has a couple of affirmations in it for us. From the one who was, who is, and who is yet to come. That's repeated twice. And then as we read and wrapped it up, we heard, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And as I think about that, you know, have y'all ever noticed the scroll work, embellishment? Words are hard today. So, Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. And in the middle is iota, eta, sigma, I think. Is that right, Don? Jeremy? It's the Greek letter for H.
Oh, I think that's Latin.
Yeah, okay, well, Latin. We'll go with Greek, Iesus, which if you read it, sounds like what? Jesus, right? Anyway, but we say the Alpha and Omega, and they're words that we will include in the liturgy, particularly as we do a service of death and resurrection, right? At the time of someone's passing, you know, I'll often process into a space and say, he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Those who believe in me shall not perish, but will have eternal life. And that is why we're here, right? that in our whole study of the Apostles' Creed, where we said, how can we succinctly in so many words give concrete language to what we believe, right? And so the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, right? I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And we studied this throughout the season of Lent. And now we get to put that into practice. Now we get to really understand what that means for us. And the beautiful story about Jesus and Thomas, and as a staff, we reflected on this scripture. It was easy to look at the gospel text of John, but a whole lot harder to look at Revelation because it's such a weird writing for us. And we were thinking about it, and we talked about, you know, Thomas and how he really got a bad rap. Because what was he nicknamed? Doubting Thomas. How many of you would want to go down for the rest of your life as being doubting Karen or doubting Martha or doubting Jeremy? Do you know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be that, right? Because it's like, if you're doubting, then that might mean that your faith and your belief is in question, right? Like you did something or you said something that's going to stick with you forever. Kind of like those nicknames that are given to you as a kid that don't ever go away or that your family will never let you forget. Poor Thomas. 2,000 years, man. He's been doubting Thomas to anybody who's heard the scripture. And the thing is, I can't blame him. I can't blame him for doubting. I can't blame him for wanting to see the proof of Jesus' resurrection. As much as I love my best friends and that we've been journeying on this for 3 years, you know, even though Jesus said this, sometimes I'm like, I just need you to show up, God, and show me something that I can tangibly see. So when his friends say, hey, Jesus was here, one, they were locked behind doors. And I'm thinking, well, if Jesus came back from the dead, he's got to have a body. How did he get into that locked space? Am I the only one who thinks that question? Because it's like, I want to know, how did that happen, right? There's something about the resurrected body that is different from the earthly body, and Jesus was showing that in real time to his disciples, right? So, a couple of key points to think about. That one, Jesus' closest followers, his disciples, the ones who were going to be the foundation of the faith, were hiding behind locked doors. Let that sit in for a minute. They had isolated themselves from what was happening in the outer world because they knew that things were going to get bad. Persecution would happen for having faith in Jesus. They didn't know what was going to happen next. They too were doubting. Let me say that again. They too were doubting what was going to happen next. So really, instead of saying this is a story about doubting Thomas, we ought to say this is the story of the doubting disciples who had been with Jesus for 3 long years. And yet, Jesus showed up in the midst of that and says, peace be with you. Because I can imagine that there would have been a restlessness in their bodies and their spirits. The anxiety would have been high. Questioning of like, where do we go from here? What are we supposed to do? And Jesus says, peace. Breathe. Peace be with you. And then when Thomas is finally in the midst, again, behind locked doors, avoiding what was happening on the outside, Jesus shows up in that space and offers the group peace again and doesn't admonish Thomas for what he had said of, well, if I didn't see him, how do I know? Unless I touch him, how do I know? Instead, Jesus says, come to me. touch my hands, touch my side. Peace be with you, Thomas. I wonder how often we, in very tumultuous times or uncertainty, we're paralyzed with fear. That we isolate ourselves behind locked doors, or I'm going to even go as far as to say maybe we do that doom scroll on our phones to like ignore the world because we just can't process or make sense of it. And we're wondering, like, what's going to happen next? Like, I stopped watching the nightly news because I couldn't handle hearing it. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? Like, I need a message of hope. I need a message of goodness. I need something to cling to. Because in this time, it is so hard. And isn't that when Jesus shows up? Isn't that when someone steps into your space and says, hey, can I give you a hug? How are you doing today? I was thinking about you and I wanted to follow up and check in on you. I missed seeing your beautiful face today. That's Jesus showing up when we ourselves are frantic and possibly doubting what's to come next. And then we hear the words again from Revelation that were meant to be a word of hope for a community that was going to suffer greatly because of their faith. The one who was, the one who is, the one who is yet to come. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. For those who believe in me will have eternal life. And when we think about the Alpha and the Omega, it is the beginning and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. But it also makes me think about a circle. That a circle has no beginning, a circle has no end. A circle will embrace and accompany everything, that there's no stopping point, there's no starting point. And that is the beauty of Jesus. There is no starting point, there is no end point. Jesus is with us just as God is with us because the Holy Spirit convicts us of this. Today, I need that word of hope. And if you feel that you need that word of hope too, I'm going to invite you now to say amen. 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 So there is something else that is very important as we go into some of these other topics: food justice, community, creation care. These are all found in our social principles where we put our faith into action. What does it mean to believe the things that we do and hold them is important for us, that it guides and leads all the choices that we make. There's something that we need to remember and to remember well. We cannot do this outside of our bodies. Let me say that again. We cannot do this work of living a life of faith outside of our bodies. How do we know this? Because Jesus had a body. Before death and after death. How do we know this? Because he invited Thomas to touch him. Touch my hands. Touch my side. Our faith is one that rests within our bodies. And if we forget the importance of this body that has been given to us by God, then we cannot fully live into the faith that has been gifted to us. And here's the thing, your bodies are going to remember things your brain does not. Do I need to say that again? Your bodies are going to remember things that your brain may not remember. Because we've lived experiences. We've been in relationship with people because of our bodies, of our persons. And it is important that we take care of this body because this is where the Holy Spirit resides. And that is what allows us to live into our faith. That is what it means to have embodied believing, because this is the place in which the Spirit resides. This is where our hands and feet are. This is what goes out into the world as a reflection of the goodness of God as we interact with one another, as we look into the eyes of our neighbors and those we have not yet met and recognize the beauty of God in each and every person. Do we recognize them as being embodied images of God? We do not live this life of faith outside of our bodies. As we continue to explore the post-resurrection, the lens through which Jesus has given us to read Scripture, to reflect on it, to live life, we will do that not only in our physical bodies, but as a body of Christ. As a community, all of you gathered here and at home, you are the body of Christ, God manifest into the world. You bear witness to this faith that Christ has given to us. The one who was, the one who is, the one who is yet to come. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the resurrection and the life and the love of God for each and every one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.